Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and looked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now it came to pass, in the 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work, to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully." Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place." So they brought back word to the king. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just ask that for the remainder of this time, you have your way in this service. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Oh, have a seat. Before going further, I just want to say thank you for the elders for allowing me to have a couple of weeks off to spend with my family, and I got a chance to spend incredible amounts of time with grandkids and family and children, and it was a blessing. And it was much needed, and I just want to thank them and you all for that. And then we get a week off because of a storm. So it's been three Sundays that I haven't been here, and that's maybe why I felt a detachment. And it's a good message to us to stay into the things we need to be into. Relationship with one another. Relationship with God by His Spirit, but also by His Word. And that's where we're going to go today. I listened to Pastor Jerry's messages over the two prior weeks, and oh my goodness. He spoke to the day that we live in today with such incredible honesty and forthrightness and reality. As I'm listening to it, I'm prompted to look at myself and change the things I need to change. Because at some point or another, when we move away from God, we are in decline. When we move out of His Word, we are in decline. And the picture of decline that he spoke about brings me to Sodom and Gomorrah, brings me to Nineveh, brings me to the prophets of Baal, brings me to those places of where we can go in the short time it takes for us to get there. A generation? A half a generation? And it's incredible. So I thank you for that word, Pastor Jerry, because what you did is you catapulted me right into the message for this week. So when we're talking about decline, how do we get to the place of decline? And we're talking about Josiah, a king who stood up in the midst of the decline of a nation. The nation of Israel, primarily Judah, the southern kingdom. And how quickly they got there. Four generations since David, King David, reigned. Then came Solomon. Then came Manasseh, who was seen as one of the most wicked and evil kings of all the kings. And then his son Amon, who was wicked. And out of that, God rises up two men. He raises up Jeremiah the prophet. And then he raises up an eight-year-old boy and puts him in the place of royalty and makes him a king. 8 years old, he becomes king of Israel. Just right now, in the back, we have eight-year-olds and young kids learning the very same lesson that I'm speaking to you. They're getting it at their level in the back. This happens every Sunday. How beautiful it is that we have young kids digging deeper into the Word of God. And we'll find out really soon what took place. Jeremiah the prophet, they call him the weeping prophet. And I just want to speak to him about him a little bit because he's in the day of decline. And God has called this man out to speak truth to the people, primarily Israel, but also the world. To tell them where they're coming. And by the way, the bottom line is, he is telling them that judgment is coming. If you don't hear another word from me today, know this, judgment is coming to us too. Judgment was coming to Israel. Just like judgment came to Sodom and Gomorrah, just like judgment was about to come to Nineveh until they repented and changed. Judgment is coming to this world. Remember before I was talking about spiritual things being more real than the reality of where we are today? It's the same thing with judgment. It is real. And Jeremiah was fighting false prophets of his day. It said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Which meant, all is good because we have the temple of the Lord and He's in the temple. Peace, peace, everything is good, everything is dandy and cotton candy. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Everything is not good in the day of Israel. Everything is not peace, peace, peace. When you hear the words peace, 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 don't your red flags pop up? There is no peace. Those are Old Testament scriptures that spoke about peace. There was no peace. There's no peace today. We've been anesthetized. Is that the right word, or did I just invent another one? We have been numbed to our day. And when I say we, I mean the world today is numb to some realities. And I think in a lot of ways the church is too. But the reality is that judgment is coming. There is no real peace. And when you hear peace, 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 beware. Because judgment is coming. But God has made a plan for His people. For His true Israel, like you and me. And for His original Jew. For them to come to Him and have a way to have peace that passes our understanding. It's different than peace is our well with complacency and apathy and all the other things that come with it. That's the backdrop of Josiah coming in. And I'm just going to just throw a few scriptures at you just to bring this really clear. But in Jeremiah 7:1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. And say, hear the word of the Lord, all of you of Judah, who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doing." Well, that's no way to talk to us. His words to them are, amend your ways. If you don't know what the word amend means, go Thursday. We'll hear all about it. Amend your ways and your doings. "And I will cause you to dwell in this place." Then it says, "Do not trust the lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." That's a false security teaching. And it refuses to deal with the issue of repentance. And it puts us on a slippery slope that takes us down to decline. And you can go and listen to podcasts all over the place, and you will hear teachings. Karma corn and cotton candy and all's well, and you know, this and this and all the good things. And if there's no preaching on repentance, if there's no preaching on digging into the Word of God, if there's no preaching on the reality of the need for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, you're on a slippery slope. Talking to his sister, Janice, and she threw three words at me. And she threw a trend that happened in the Old Testament. And it was apathy, apostasy, and anarchy. It's the trail that leads to decline. I would throw in there complacency. Just before that, when I look at complacency, I look at, it's all good. I mean, I go to church on Sunday. I just shook hands with my neighbor. It's all good. And I think that's a dangerous place. Because if we're settled into that, we're not settled into the things of God or that He has for us. For it's by grace that you're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you just hang on to that portion of the scripture, you're in a dangerous place. That takes us down that slide of slipperiness that takes us to decline. Because the idea of works is important. It is a big deal. We give God glory through our works. It's Him working through us. We're doing it for Him and His glory and to accomplish His purposes. He uses us, but it gets Him glory. But I don't have to do works because I'm saved already. You're not giving God glory already. And what slope are you sliding down? If you're not into this. Paul says in Philippians 2:12, he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." To will and do His good pleasure. Through who? Through you. Through me. Works matter. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What were we created for? To do good works. For what purpose? To give Him glory. Works matter. So if I put out a plea and it seems like I'm begging, and I say, is there anybody who will step up and help out with the special needs children that will be coming to this church For the special needs children that are already here, who only need somebody to love them and care about them and support them, to help springboard them to where God wants them to be. That plea is bigger than just a begging. It's an opportunity to step into the work. Able Church is an ability, gives us the ability or the possibility or the opportunity to step into a good work. Celebrate Recovery is a place where we can step into the good work. And by the way, when you think you're going to a place to help somebody, beware. God's doing something in you. He's doing something in me. It's good for us. Thank you, Jesus. When Jeremiah was speaking in that day, that message that he gave to them, that God gave to him about complacency, is real. And it is hard. Because here's what happens, and I'll go back 3 weeks. When you step into the work of God, you also step into battle. And the battle is not always easy. I'll just be really straight with you. The battle is real. The battle is hard sometimes, and it's difficult. It prompted Jeremiah to be a weeping man. And it prompted him to have discussions with God where he shared his anger and his frustration. It also gave God the opportunity to speak to him. Thank you, Jesus. He got so disgusted by the false prophets of the day, the ones that spoke peace, peace, which were subtle lies and would take people away from God. And he was telling God that I don't even want to speak your name because of the attacks that he comes from these false prophets. And he says, but I can't help it. Your word is like a fire shut up in my bones, and I can't withstand it or withhold it. God's will be accomplished. Can you imagine the prophet? Just, I don't want to mention your name because they're going to come at me and they're going to mock me and they're going to make fun of me. But I can't help it. This word pours out of me. And it should pour out of us. It should pour out of us. But you know what? It can't pour out of us if we don't put it into us. Everything about the Word of God matters. We have to know the Word of God. Everything we're doing in this church is about us getting right by the Word of God. Helping people is a call we're supposed to do. Going and helping the children's ministry is a good thing, and we need to do it. But make no mistake, when I get excited because the kids are hearing the Word of God that you're hearing right now, that is everything. What happened to Israel in Jeremiah's day? They were at almost the ultimate point of decline, where the next thing that was going to happen to me in my mind's eye is fire and brimstone from judgment, just like it's Sodom and Gomorrah. God raises up a young prophet to step in the gap for that time, to be like a Christ to them, to bring them to a place of revival. Let me talk about that for a second. When I first became a Christian, one of the first words I learned it mostly from the old church ladies. It was spoke about revival all the time, and I caught it. Not revival. I caught what they were saying and hoping and wishing for. So I began to hope and say and wish for it too. I want a revival. I talked to some of you even over the, a few weeks ago. But I didn't really know what revival truly was. Because I've been to some Assembly of God, awesome services where the Spirit of God is flowing, and the dance, and we're just, woo, Jesus! And I'm loving it. Jeannie, I remember well. And I was right there, Sally, I remember it. Those powerful services, which I thought that was revival. No, that's a byproduct of true revival. That comes later. That's not what I'm looking for. That's not what God is looking for. Revival comes to the place of the heart. And we all have to have our revival. We have to be brought to life. We have to move from head to heart. That's what revival is. And everything in my life changes when I submit to God, humble myself before Him, allow Him to speak into my life, and I begin to make changes. And that is this message that we're getting here today. What happened? What happened? A couple things happened. First off, Josiah, as I get into him a little bit, Josiah was a godly man before he even hit revival. He was a man after God. He was a man after God's, not his heart, but after somebody that God was high on. He was a godly man before he knew the depth of who God was. And he was trained up probably by priests in the temple. A temple that was destroyed and torn down. And he began to do the good things of somebody that was bringing change to a nation. And when he was 26 years old, so he'd been a king from age 8, now he's 26. One of the scribes brings the scroll they found as they're cleaning out the temple. First thing you can think about is begin to think about your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit and begin to think about the need to cleanse the temple, our temple. I'll get more into that a little bit later. But he was cleaning out the physical temple. They're cleaning out the physical temple. They bring him the scroll. The scribe reads the scroll to him. And revelation comes. And basically the revelation comes as to who God is, who he is. Just like Pastor James said earlier in the worship. And where we're headed. Where we're going. What our need is. So I'm just going to kind of go back here and just read this a little bit. And it says in verse 3, "Well, it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, the king that set Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money." Okay, so he goes through this whole thing about they're pouring money into the temple to clean it up. Don't worry about it. These are righteous men that are cleaning it up. So they go through in verse 6, it talks about the carpenters and the builders and the masons and to buy timber, hewn stone to repair the house. And there needs to be no accounting of this. The cleaning of the house is a big deal. We're putting resources to get this place set up in such a fashion that it will reach those who don't really want to walk into a church. That doesn't mean we're compromising the message. That doesn't mean we're moving away from the Word of God. No, what that means is we want to be inviting people to come in to make this place. And we put money into that so that it's decent for people to come in. Millennials coming in don't like the decor of the house. And I like big deal. I like it. I live here. But that's not the point. It's not about me. And frankly, it's not about you. It's about who's coming. So they spend time in the temple. Probably for different kinds of reasons, but nonetheless, they spend time in that temple. Then it goes on to say, well, Jesus got a little upset about the temple. It was a big deal to him. If you remember, Jesus walks into the temple, and he sees the money changers, people buying and selling, exchanging different kinds of money, buying and selling of sacrifice animals. And he got frustrated. He got angry. He was indignant. And he creates a whip and starts whipping things, turning over money tables, shaking out the animals because it was in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is a big deal. That's why we really don't want kids running up on the stage making this a gymnasium up here. You know? That's why we don't want adults running on the stage making this a gymnasium up here. The only jumping beans up here are going to be those who are in worship. Those who are falling prostrate before God. You're not even jumping anymore. You're in brokenness. That's what the altar is for. Thank you, Jesus. So they're making the temple right. And then it says they found this book. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king. So Shaphan the scribe reads the book and it's like, oh my goodness, the king better see this. And he brings it to the king. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king saying, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now what had happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. Why? Because the truth of that book affected him. He tore his clothes and he begins to repent. This is the first time in two generations that they had access to the book of the law. He heard teachings, maybe, being in with the priests, and there was some carryover, but before they actually had the word. And what he saw was how far the nation has fallen. Remember, the Word of God reveals us to us who God is, but also who we are. And when the Word was read, the revelation of who God was, and in this particular case, it is a God who is about to bring judgment to a nation. And it revealed to him who they were, that they had fallen so far. In fact, in the temple were unholy things, idols, directly praying and worshiping other gods. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night." Sally gave me that just before the service in a devotional that she read for this day. We should meditate on the word day and night. It should not depart from his mouth. It should not depart from us. But then we should receive it and be in it. I know Pastor James gave a teaching up at Camp Daniel. I'm going to take some liberties here, Pastor James, but in it, he talked about the light, and that you could see light in a dark room. We tried to do something here before, but you could see light in the darkness. And we know that it's there, and we know what it is, but until we walk in the light, we can't come out of it with any kind of effect, basically is what he's saying. Well, Jesus is the light of the world, and if you have him in you, you become a bearer of that light. But if I spend no time in his word, which he is the living word, the light isn't there. It doesn't come out of me. I can be in the presence of the light, a whole bunch of light bearers, but if it's not in me, I can't take it out. And neither could he. And he saw how far they had fallen. They fell from the light. They fell from the Word of God. It is the standard by which we live. In Isaiah 49, it says, when the enemy of the Lord comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. The Spirit of the Lord always points us to Christ. It points us to his Word, and he is the standard. The problem with Israel is they fell away from the standard. They didn't have the Word. It was lost. And where did they find the Word? They found it in the church. It was hidden in the church. Oh my goodness! How could the Word of God be hidden in the church? I can walk through this room and the back offices and find all kinds of different versions of the Bible. But if we don't crack it, we don't speak about it, it is hidden in the church just like the scrolls were hidden in the temple. God, forgive us for not being in your Word. I'm talking to the church right now. I'm talking to believers. If you're new here, just smile because they're getting yelled at. But know the judgment is still coming to you too. Hard message, isn't it? We are to be in the Word. That's why everything we're doing here is about being in God's Word, growing in it, because we are, frankly, we're all literate to some degree in God's Word. Some are less literate than others. When I came to the realization of how illiterate I was in His Word, I was very down on myself. But God's not like that. He's not one to judge me now. He didn't come to judge me. He came to save me. And what he did was he steered me on a path of getting into his word. Therefore, where I go, his word is in me. It comes out of me. Just like the light of those who spend time in the light, it comes out of them. So the word is in me. But everything we do is about to get the church into the word of God on a regular, systematic basis so that we take that with us and we bring that light to other people. And then we do what it says. We bring the next person in and help them get filled with the Word of God. That's what we're doing. It's not about this great, big, beautiful screen. Oh, look, there's a cross. Oh, go figure. It's about the Word of God being preached. And why is that such a big deal? Because Jesus said, "I am." He is the Word of God. Doesn't say he said that. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. If I run late today, it's because our clock is broken in the back, just so you know. And I never did figure these out. What, somebody know my password? No. So what did he learn? In verse 15 it says, This is Huldah, the prophetess. Then she said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the words of the book which the king of Judah just read." Okay, so calamity is coming to Israel. Why? Verse 17 says, "Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods." How low can we go? How far can the decline go? That we burn incense and worship other gods. Jesus, forgive us. "That they might provoke me to anger." This is God speaking now through through Josiah. "They might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched." I've read enough of what God has done in the Old Testament to know that when the wrath of God comes, and the thought of it not being quenched is frightening to me. Egypt got a taste of that, of his wrath coming out. And I believe, really, that that wasn't it. Sodom and Gomorrah got a taste, actually had a great taste, of the wrath of God. After that, what God had done is he always rose up a man or a prophet, a judge, okay, who happened to be righteous in his eyes to warn the people. And that's actually what I'm doing right now is I'm warning the people. I'm warning us all. Judgment is coming. Sounds gloom and doom, but you know what? It is gloom and doom. Because we've forsaken God. How do we forsake God? We went down the slippery slope of complacency, to apathy, to apostasy, which is falling away from God. What does that look like? It is so stinking subtle that we don't see it happening when it's happening. A falling away from God is about falling into something else. And it's not like a demonic cult that we fall into. We fall into things that are more important than God. That's where it happens. Forsake not the gathering together, especially as you see the day approaching. Our gathering together matters. What are the things we chase that come before God? I could go through a whole list. I have my own list. I was up late watching the Brewer game because it was an amazing game. God, I like the Brewers. And I like that Keston here. That guy, man, he can hit. And he's short, which makes me like him even more. But if I'm not careful, that becomes my end-all thing. And that's what I get excited about. That's where my time goes. I've begun a slide of some sort. I go boating and go fishing. There's nothing wrong with boating and fishing outdoors. They're good things. But when they start to come before God, and that becomes my end all, and that becomes my satisfaction, and that becomes my, I'll call it therapy, and that becomes my go-to thing to help me relax, instead of the source of God, I'm stepping down into idolatry, and it's subtle. And I stop to remember the gathering together of the brothers. I stop reading His Word because it wasn't a convenient time. I was so bad at this that I believe God made me a pastor that I had to be in His Word to prepare a message. I'm not kidding. It seems funny, but it's a reality. It's not a funny reality. It's a shame. And I stopped reading His Word before I even got started in it. And I become a pastor. Well, you have to give a message once a week. And I know in my heart of hearts that that is not enough. So then God gives us this vision for life groups and discipleship groups, which you'll hear about later. Going deeper into His Word. And it's been glorious. And it's been satisfying. And it's only scratching the surface of where He's going to take us. He's going to take us to deeper places in His Word that we know Him better. Because when we know Him, we worship Him. And this is exactly, Pastor James, you come on. And this is exactly where God goes. Once we come to the place of apostasy and we start worshiping these other gods, that brings us back to the place of repentance. That's what Josiah did. He brought a nation back to repentance. He will do that to you and me. Josiah knew of God. But until he saw the book, he didn't come to life. and God. I was raised as a kid who knew who God was. But I came to a place where he revealed to me who he really was. And he begins to grow in me. But it begins with repentance. Actually, it begins with revelation of God showing me who he is. Just like you. When you see who God is, it changes something in you. That leads me to repentance. When I repent and bow my face before God, and I begin to give him all my stuff, my sin. And the sin is subtle. I'm not out committing physical adultery with anybody. Everybody knows that's wrong. Thou shalt not commit. What about my thought processes? God, I give you my thought processes in this area. What about my coveting? Nobody sees me take anything from anybody. But what's going on in my mind, in my heart? Desiring what others have. Change me from the inside out. You do that by the Spirit of God, but it really works good with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through the joints and the marrow, revealing in the secret places my issues and my sin. When I go to those secret places, I begin to spill that out before God. I am on the cusp of revival in my own life. It's not the big woo-hoo thing I talked about earlier. No, it's about me getting right before God. In terms of repenting because of who he is and who I am and what I'm not. I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. And because I'm saved by the grace of God, I am also a child of the King. But I have to repent and come to that place. And it isn't every Easter that I do this. This is a daily, daily thing of repenting of my sin. You know why? Because I want my flesh sometimes just wins. And I have to go back and repent and ask God to give me the strength to change. So do you. I'm no better than anybody here. You know what? You're no better than me. I sin. So do you. So we have to repent of it and give it to God and let him begin to change. So what did Josiah do? He had a mandate to the people. To the church, if you will. There will be no more idolatry. And he wipes it out and begins to tear down all the idols. And begins to kick out of the church those who are deliberately against God and his way. The ones that say, temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They don't have a place with that attitude. He gets to clean all that out. And then he does this. This is my favorite part of what Josiah does. Then he reestablishes the Passover. He reestablishes a Passover, which is the ultimate kind of worship in that day. And it says there wasn't one like it since the time of the judges. You know what that means? King David, King Solomon, Manasseh, Amon. Those kings did not enter into worship because it says they weren't doing the Passover like it ought to be done. How about us today? You know, some celebrate the Passover. And in this church, a lot of people celebrate the Passover and have Seder meals. I love it. It's a good thing. Because that's a foretelling of Christ coming, what he does, the true Passover. Yeah, it's a powerful story. And I know in life groups we'll start meeting right now, but you need to be reading through this again and getting a good a steady handle on what happened here, because it's a picture of what's happening today. Because I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to speak to the church first. The church first. And your need to come to a place of repentance. I don't really want to hear about it. I just want to know that this word got through. But look into your own heart, I pray right now, that the Spirit of God reveals to each one of us our need to repent of what is out of order in our lives. When it comes to you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to have any speak or anything. Just raise your hand when it's come to you. You raise them high. Yeah, hands are starting to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put mine up. Because you're revealing to me. Leave that hand up. I'm going to ask you, if you feel, actually put your hands down. I'm going to ask you if you feel that you are ignorant or illiterate concerning God's Word. If that's you, I'm going to have you raise your hand. Once again, my hand is going up. Holy Spirit, I'm just coming for you right now. I pray that you reveal to each one with their hand raised. Show them first and foremost the sin in my heart that needs to be eradicated. And drive deep within each one of us the desire to be deeper into your Word. For out of that you can work in us. I pray that you make it seamless and joyful. A good work that's happening in each one. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may put your hands down. Well, for some of you, this may be the first time you heard a message of repentance or of getting right before God, and maybe you don't even know who God is. I'm going to tell you who He is. He's the Heavenly Father. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh. He is Creator. He is our Counselor. That's who Jesus is. And if you've never put Him into place where He is the Lord of your life, the leader of your life, the one whom you worship, and you've never done that before, and you want to make that statement and do that today, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. The Bible says that judgment is coming. We're speaking out of the Old Testament, and the New Testament, it speaks about the judgment that's coming to our time. If you are in Christ Jesus, judgment does not come to you. The Holy Spirit comes to you in a loving way, showing you what's wrong with your right, what you need to get right. But if you want to receive Jesus today, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, just like mine was raised. Is there anybody here that needs to do that today? Okay, at the end of the service, I'm going to be up here along with the prayer team. And if you want to talk about this after the service, we're going to be here for you. If you have a need, a healing need, you come to the altar, and people are going to pray for you based on what your need is. And it's so sweet. But if you don't know who Jesus is and you want to know more, you come up and you talk to any one of them or myself. In Jesus' name. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you continue to work on our hearts for the rest of the time here, in the weeks ahead, the days ahead, doing the work that you do, which is bringing to light our need for you, Jesus. Do that, I pray in Jesus' name. God, I ask a blessing.